Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
John, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
Good, thanks. And obvious to people listening, we have changed your name and also disguised your voice because of the topic that's involved here. What do you call it, John? Do you call it porn addiction or sex addiction?
I would call it porn addiction.
And when did it start for you?
It started when I was a teenager, early teens.
And how did it affect your life?
It affected my life with secrecy from an early age. Mm-hmm. It affected my relationships. It affected my work, my life, destroyed my life to a large extent because there was a double life where I had to have something to run to in times of stress or inability to cope with life. Mm-hmm. I had something as a crutch.
And you know how you were 12 when you first saw a pornographic magazine in a friend's house. And did that have a major effect on you?
It had a big effect on me. It was the thrill of seeing it. For me, it did. But also, it was the first day that I carried a secrecy that was to really fill with shame. For me, it was a really euphoric thing to see, and I still remember seeing it, and it made a huge impact on me.
And if I had known you at the age of, say, 12 to 18, be it as a member of your family or a schoolmate or whatever, how would this have shown itself in your relationships?
It would not show in a relationship. It would not show in anything. It was an absolute hidden, concealed unhappiness behind myself, even from that age.
Would it show? I know it's peripheral in many ways, but would it show in your exam results, for example?
It had an impact in my school exam results because I had it available to me physically next to me when I was studying. Mm-hmm. It interrupted my studies. I was completely distracted. I was studying and trying not to look at these magazines on an extended basis. But when I would take it out, it was very difficult to put it away.
Mm-hmm. So it was a form. In one sense, it was a form of addiction. But
yeah.
In another sense, I'll deal with the whole self-esteem issues in a while, but when people have a drink problem, people have a gambling problem, people have gambling addiction and alcohol addiction, apart from the damage they're doing to themselves, obviously, others around them see the damage, be it in alcohol, they see it fairly soon, and in gambling, they eventually see it because of money going missing or whatever. But how would they see porn addiction in terms of affecting family life, for example?
It would be very difficult to see it. It would be very difficult until maybe you start to go out dating, and maybe you start to objectify women a bit more, because I think it does escalate from learning about what women mean to a man from that age. You grow into adulthood expecting something from women that is not as real, not as pure. You become to objectify them.
And did you find yourself objectifying women in your relationships? And what effect did that have?
It had an effect in that I had a lot a pursuit of women, conquest and going out and never having enough, and lots of relationships, and affected my relationships and love life, sex life. I wanted them to match up to what I was seeing, and I was not present because I was always using this as a secret crutch, and it's not like alcohol where, you know, you come home with a smell of drink or you wreck the place. This was a more shameful behavior that you would hide away and stay in the office or stay in the room and come out and be as happy as jolly, and, you know.
So low self-esteem, low self-worth.
It creates a... It may be if you're feeling some self-esteem issues, and I think that is the root of the two, that sometimes you need to be a bit maybe weak of mind and maybe have an addictive personality or some situations, and you get pulled into it. But it's definitely there as a support for self-esteem issues in relationships, in the future, in your career. And no good girlfriend or good partner is enough, because this is something that was ingrained in me at that point.
And John, when did you realise that this was a problem that needed outside help?
When I was 34, I sought out a therapist because it became overwhelming. I would be hours and hours on the laptop because technology became a very efficient way of getting lots of images and then videos. It became more rampant. It was market pornography was marketed to become addictive.
Good point, yeah.
When I came in at 34 to the therapist, it was because, you know, you could be looking at it for hours and not be able to stop. But even at later in my 20s, I knew that it was a big problem, but I never made a move until my early 30s, which was quite young in comparison to a lot of people, I would think.
Quite young. Okay, I'll come back to that in a sec. And tell us, what did the help consist of and what was the effect of it?
It would help me learn a lot about myself. I've become to learn about how it was used to mask stress, low self-esteem, self-worth, and there was issues there that have become revealed. My pursuit of pornography, or for women in particular, was to make myself, I guess, feel good. But I do believe that the root of it comes from learning a lot about, you know, what to understand a woman to be in the first place. If that makes sense.
And when you, well, I presume in some sense it's ongoing, but what difference did it make, the therapy?
Oh, it freed up my life to understand that I stopped using it on a daily basis. I started to become a lot more present in life. I was able to focus more on my work, to enter in a more healthy relationship where I could be more honest, more present, and completely changes. But it is something that's ingrained in me, that behavior. So it's something that I think will improve over time, that it becomes less of a solution to life's problems, but it is still around. But it has absolutely improved my life to be able to, you know, put this phase of my life behind me to some extent, and then to live a more positive and fruitful life, and a more honest life. I live such a more honest life now. To be able to know that you can give your laptop to somebody without worrying about your internet browsing history or your phone, or a more honest life.
And John, you say you went into therapy and then group therapy when you're in your mid-30s, and you said that I would have been the youngest. One of the youngest.
Yes, there is many people who I've seen that my life could have gone to a more escalating extent where their marriages have broken and to be left with nothing, because it brings you to the bottom. You can lose everything. And I witnessed it. And it was a good chance for me to see that it will go that way for me if I let it continue, because it does escalate.
And in I don't, obviously a group is a group, but there's confidentiality, so we speak in the generality, really. In the group, is it all men?
Not all.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Would the age group be you were, as you say, in your mid-30s, 34, 35, would the age group, what, be in 60s, 70s?
All the way up to, you know, from 30 to 60.
Yeah, and would they have spoken about the which I suppose for everyone now, and despite parental guidance and parental locks on laptops and mobile phones, whatever, everyone now has access fairly easily to computer pornography, pornography on computers. Does that make it more difficult? Does the accessibility make it more difficult for people who have the addiction that you have described?
Well, one of the reasons that I really wanted to bring this up was because I think when I see kids being presented with phones, with all access, with TikTok, with, you know, access to be sent things from people, I was never sent. I was never seeking anything visually stimulating when I was young. I came across it. But now kids are being presented with this in their hands, and even great parents who mean great things are not aware, because they've not been through what I've been through, the secrecy. I know how clever kids can be. I know that their kids can possibly become very intrigued by some of these things, maybe more than their friends, but that's life. But I do know that technology is marketed to be very addictive. Everything. We know that we all, young or old, we know that it's very stimulating to be on a phone to browse the internet. But if you're a kid and you're coming across TikTok and scantily clad women, and some of them being objectified, in comparison, I was looking at cartoons when I was 10. But this is setting them up, I believe, for an unhealthy learning about what women are.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a very difficult time to be a woman, to get into a relationship, because they're facing a sexualized society, you know. But that's a deeper philosophical problem.
And John, did you ever find yourself on the edges of criminality?
Criminality, no, never.
In terms of accessing unlawful material?
No.
Apart from it being distasteful, unlawful, okay.
And unfortunately, that's probably the thought that some people, particularly I think in Ireland, would think if they speak up about this. And that's very sad, and that's what keeps it very secret, is that I need to disguise my voice to talk about something like this in 2020. I didn't go there. I didn't go to any illegal level. Not me. That was not me.
And what you're differentiating very clearly there is that addiction to porn is a problem in itself that should be addressed in itself.
Yes, absolutely.
And how can parents or friends spot it?
Good question. How can they spot their kids?
Yeah, that because you say when you were explaining yourself, the secrecy became part of the kick, didn't it?
Yes. I think it shouldn't be a matter of parents looking out for how long they're spending on their phone, where they're using it. Mm-hmm. I think the bottom line should be that they are protected, that they have certain restrictions on the phone, or they should not have a phone. I mean, why do we have a 10, 12-year-old on TikTok? They don't need to be on it. Why do they need a phone? If they do have it, they lock it down.
Did you, John, just finally, did you ever, and it comes back to parents being parents and trying to be around all the time. It's extraordinarily difficult that their children will speak to them. But were you ever tempted to tell your parents?
No.
Were you ever tempted to tell one of your partners? A girlfriend?
In my relationships, yes. During them, I wouldn't say tempted.
Yeah.
But they would wonder what's wrong with me. But no, I never told. Because you feel that you're the bad...
It's a shame of it.
Guilty person.
Okay, but you feel you're a lot better now having gone for help.
Feeling a lot better. It has been something that's unfortunately become programmed into me that I need to unprogram.
Okay.
But it's a daily basis.
Okay, you don't want to slip, as to use the terminology.
No.
Okay, and you've come so far that you're willing to actually speak openly about it, which, as you say in itself, is extraordinarily rare. So that's why I really appreciate you contacting us, and I really appreciate your contribution today, John, and stay well.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.